and it's the Monday after Thanksgiving, so why not shift our focus from turkey to Italian food? To do that, we've got Scott Conant with us. You may know him from the Food Network competition show Chopped, where he is a judge.
Chef, we liked some of the flavors that you brought forth today.
Right.
But in the second round, you gave us almost exactly the same plate as you gave us in the first round.
Right.
And undercooked lentils, which never should have made it on the plate.
Nothing worse than undercooked lentils. Well, Scott Conant is also a graduate of the Culinary Institute of America and the driving force behind Scarpetta, a line of hugely successful Italian restaurants. He's just published the Scarpetta Cookbook, 125 recipes from the acclaimed restaurant. He's with us now from Miami. Scott, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You started Scarpetta back in 2008. You now have 5 restaurants: New York, Miami, Beverly Hills, Las Vegas, and Toronto. What is different about your style of Italian cooking than other great chefs in this country?
The one big differential that I'll say that I try to focus on is the end result. And the name Scarpetta itself, Italians say fare la scarpetta, which is to grab a piece of bread and kind of sop up what's on the plate. I try to bridge the gap between alta cucina, cucina rustica, the two schools of thought in Italian cooking, rustic food and higher end, more modern style food, aristocratic cuisine, if you will. So it's almost like urban Milan meets rustic Tuscany. And then we try to localize each restaurant for the market that it's in.
Well, give me an example of that. What would you be pulling from the old and pulling from the new and putting together?
So I have a dish on the menus which comes in and out of season. It's a baby goat, moist roasted capretto. Capretto is really a signature of the south of Italy. So what I try to do is I'll use the basic cooking technique of moist roasting that baby goat, and maybe I'll bring in a signature dish maybe from the very north of Italy, a grustel, which is potatoes and some kind of bacon or speck, and all these beautiful ingredients, bring them together with caramelized onions, and then add that with the baby goat. And maybe I'll add broccoli rabe or fava beans, depending on the season. So I'll try to bring those things together in a very elegant manner, but also the flavors that are deep, more rustic in style. And it tends to resonate with people.
Now, a lot of the recipes in your book are things that perhaps people could cook on their own at home without too much trouble, but there are a lot of them that look like they would be pretty difficult. Let me see here. Short rib and bone marrow. Agnolotti, is that how you say that?
Agnolotti.
Agnolotti with horseradish brown butter and herbed breadcrumbs.
It sounds really difficult, but believe me, if I can do it, anyone can do it. It's one of those dishes that we utilize a lot of the end parts of the short ribs, which are a different dish in the book, braised short ribs with a vegetable and farro risotto. And utilizing all those scraps and kind of adding more depth and a little bit more flavor, adding a touch of bone marrow, it sounds very difficult, but believe me, I really intended and focused on stripping away a lot of the professional nuances of the food and really focusing on what's going to make sense for the home cook and also for professionals, how to execute these dishes at a pretty high level.
What would you say is the biggest misconception that people have about cooking pasta and what they need to know in order to do it?
The most surprising for me is whether or not to salt the water that the pasta is being cooked in. You know, as I always say, put enough salt in the water for it to taste like broth.
Before you put the pasta in or after?
Absolutely, before the pasta goes in. That way the pasta really absorbs that beautiful flavor of the salt and of the water that it's being cooked in.
The one that I keep seeing the picture of in your book that is making me really hungry is ricotta and truffle ravioli with Parmigiano Reggiano froth.
Yeah, you have good taste.
Expensive
taste.
It looks really good. Anything with truffle on the top of it, I'm happy with.
Yeah, me too. Most people feel the same way. That's a dish that we're actually serving now in several of the restaurants because it's truffle season.
Now, some people know you from your restaurants. Some other people, probably more people even around the country, know you from your TV show, Chopped. I want to play a little clip of this because sometimes you do give some of these chefs a little bit of tough love. Let's take a listen.
I have a real pet peeve with pasta sticking together like that.
Okay.
I have anger towards that. These things require attention. It's like anything. Once you start to nurture something, you can't stop.
So, Scott, wow. I mean, it's tough sometimes to do these things.
Thanks for playing that clip. I have to say my therapist was very proud of me for expressing my anger. You know, it's one of those things that it's a competition, obviously, and it's very difficult to succeed within the confines of what that competition is. But there's always a way to handle things the proper way. And I think pasta gets such a bad rap, and clearly I make a living making it. So I have some very strong opinions, clearly.
Well, and for people who haven't seen the show, the chefs have to make an appetizer, an entree, and dessert using baskets of mismatched and sometimes very difficult to use ingredients in a limited amount of time. Do you ever, as a judge, find it difficult to eat the things that are made?
You know what? It's such a difficult challenge that it's hard to get food that comes out really well and flavor that's developed in that short of a time. So more often than not, the food isn't great. We have to look at it as being a competition. But when people do a great job, we really applaud them. And we understand how difficult it is to create something like this.
You get to work with a lot of young chefs. How do you feel about the state of American cooking at this point, based on who you've seen?
Well, I'll tell you, there's so many great young chefs coming up right now, which is good for, I'm somehow along the way, I don't know when it happened, but I became one of the older guys. It's very funny. But that youth and that ambition and that great focus that the young chefs have today and the amazing amount of knowledge that they're coming out of culinary school with, it keeps us all a little bit more relevant and on our toes and focused. And it's great to harness that young energy inside my company and really have them focus on developing flavors and creating great dishes for all of us to grow from.
Scott Conan, if you had to pick one, which is your favorite recipe in your new book?
It's tough. You asked me to pick one, but it's impossible to do. They're signature dishes of the restaurant. So I'd have to say the creamy polenta with a fricassee of truffled mushrooms. My wife always gets annoyed with me when I say this, but when I was single, that dish, I would be able to get dates with that dish. That was one of the and also there's a spaghetti, which is my true signature dish of all the restaurants, spaghetti with tomato basil, and it is really, really special.
Very simple, but delicious.
Very simple. Mm-hmm.
One more question. I want you to make a chef somewhere in this country feel very happy right now. What is your favorite restaurant in the U.S. that's not your own?
About a year ago, I went to Napa Valley. There's a great food festival in Napa. And there's a restaurant in St. Helena called Meadowood, and Chris Castow is the chef there. And I have to tell you, it was emotional. It was delicious. It was inspiring. And I had enough wine that I almost wept. The food was so good.
Wow.
It was amazing. Fabulous, fabulous chef. I think he was the youngest three-star chef in the U.S., three-star Michelin.
I'm just going to ask the producer if we could just book a trip to Napa right away. That would be great right now. Scott Conan is the chef owner of the Scarpetta Restaurants. He's also the author of the new book, The Scarpetta Cookbook, and you may know him from the Food Network show Chopped. Scott, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
And Jeremy, I just have a quick question. Did you say Herb as in Albert and the Tijuana Brass?
I did, and it sort of just came out. I have an English father. Sometimes I say Herbed instead. I guess I could have said Herbed.
Yeah, but when you get stuck in the middle, it's like, you can't speak
the other day, I was talking to some friends, and I said Primer, and they said, what do you mean Primer? It's Primer.
Well, I would debate that. The other day, I said homage, and a listener wrote that it's actually homage. Hmm. Listeners, where do you stand on Primer?
I think you could go either way on
that. I do too, but Herb? That's a guy.
Well, from NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, offering a variety of insurance products, including auto, renters, boat, and motorcycle. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.